Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, what's going on, what to do, et cetera, and we always do that in a respectful way. I recently got a message from a listener who was questioning the reach of the show. 101.9 is a low-power FM station, and as such, it does have a limited broadcast range. So here's the deal, though. KTH has all of the locally produced shows in an archive on their website. You can find the website by doing a search on KTAH in Tacoma. Be sure and add Tacoma because there's other KTAHs out there. And once you get to the website, you can find the old shows archived. And one of the pluses of that is if you like listening to my show and other local radio shows, you can go there and listen to them on your own timetable. They're archived and ready to be listened to anywhere in the world via the miracle of the World Wide Web. Plus, if you enjoy the program, you can pass it on to your friends, relatives, and they can listen to it on their own timetable as well. And this is also in addition to all the other locally produced radio programs right here in good old Tacoma. I had another listener ask me what I really thought the purpose of my show was, because climate can be as complicated or as uncomplicated as you want it to be. Really, the purpose of my show is to encourage you to dig in, do your own homework, do your own research, find sources that you know to be reliable and authentic, and make up your own mind about what your stance is going to be regarding the future of our climate. Full disclosure, I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby right here in Tacoma, and you can send me a message if you like, John, J-O-H-N, at cctacoma.org, and if you have something you'd like put out over the air, I'll be happy to do that, and that would be regardless of what your perspective is. This comes under the heading of always respectful. Let's say I get messages that disagree with something that I've said over the air. I welcome those messages. If somebody disagrees with me, there are a couple things that can happen. Both of them are good. Number one, I could learn something that I didn't know before, or the other person could learn something they didn't know before. And in either case, both of us will benefit from doing our homework. And by the way, speaking of local Citizens Climate Lobby, CCL has recently launched a really outstanding website which is dedicated to local climate issues, local to Tacoma, Pierce County, state of Washington. So I urge you to go ahead and check that out. It's all available whether you're a member of CCL or not. Just simply do a search on Citizens Climate Lobby Tacoma, and you might throw in the .org there, and it should take you to the site. It's really well done and full of compacted information that'll help you when you're doing your homework. So today we're going to be talking about methane, and we're going to be talking about it in terms of its greenhouse gas properties. So let's just talk real quickly, or quick review of greenhouse gases. Basically, what happens is that the sun's energy comes through the atmosphere in the form that it's in from the sun. The atmosphere doesn't really absorb much of that energy. It strikes the earth. The form of the heat energy changes. It reflects back up into the atmosphere. And there are certain molecules, and methane is one of them. Carbon dioxide is another one, that because of their shape, they're readily absorbing the heat that comes back up from the earth. It doesn't radiate back out into space, and as a result, the total heat content of the earth is increased. That's greenhouse gases in a nutshell. Certainly the most significant of the greenhouse gases is carbon dioxide, but methane itself is very significant. Okay, what is methane? Well, we use it in most of our homes. It's called natural gas when we use it in our homes. Somebody did a great job of doing a naming methane natural gas. I think methane has kind of a negative connotation to it. Natural gas sounds kind of warm and fuzzy. And for me, it's a stretch to call something that's brought up from the earth several miles down in most cases a source that required multiple explosions and injections of chemicals and other stuff into the ground to get it back up out. But that's what natural gas is. It's methane that's been brought up from deep down in the earth. Then it's distributed around the world, the United States, Canada, via a pipe system, and eventually shows up in people's homes and in industries and in power plants and so on and so forth. Now, there are other sources of methane than so-called natural gas, and the other two major sources, and this is from the EPA, are agriculture, which is 37% of the methane emissions, landfills, which is 19%, the energy that I was talking about is 43%, and then just some other minor, relatively inconsequential sources. Now, even though it's a greenhouse gas, methane is very different in its properties from carbon dioxide. For one thing, carbon dioxide, once emitted, stays in the atmosphere for hundreds of years. Carbon dioxide that was produced back when I was a kid is still floating around 70 years later out there someplace, most of it anyway. Methane only stays in the atmosphere about 10, maybe 20 years at the most. So it disappears from the atmosphere quickly, which is a good thing, of course. But the bad news is that methane is far more efficient at absorbing that energy I was talking about than carbon dioxide is. By some measures, 86 times as much absorbing of heat as carbon dioxide. So it's very potent, even though it disappears fairly quickly from the atmosphere. So let's break down those sources of methane just a bit here. Let's start off by talking about agriculture. Rice cultivation is one of the major sources of methane from agriculture. Livestock farming is a very significant part, especially the production of beef. And landfills, of course, are a significant part. You ever noticed a landfill, they've got those vent things coming out the top of the landfills? That's for venting off the methane, and that methane is going out into the atmosphere. That's the garbage that we've all thrown away, creating that methane going out into the atmosphere and contributing to global warming. Beef production in particular is a source of large amounts of methane in the United States. We eat a lot of beef here, and that means a lot of cattle eating a lot of grain to get them nice and fat for the marketplace. Part of their digestive process is belching up large amounts of methane, and that's where that comes from. People wonder, what can I do about climate change, greenhouse gases? One of the things we can do is to eat less beef. I haven't eaten much beef in the last 10 or 15 years, and my life has been just fine without it. Just an aside, beef is bad for the environment in so many ways. Here's one for you. It takes about 10 gallons of water to create one almond, which seems like a lot. It takes 1,200 gallons of water to create one 8-ounce steak. It takes lots of land to raise the grain to fatten them up. And then we've got the emissions of methane, which are causing long-term damage to our environment too. As stated earlier, though, the number one source of methane in the atmosphere is from energy. So how does that happen? Well, one of the key issues is that a lot of the infrastructure for delivering natural gas slant methane to the eventual consumer is antiquated. Some studies have been done. Take a look. Go on the internet. You can find on Google a map of Boston showing the leaks in the infrastructure there. Basically, the city of Boston and a lot of older cities in the United States are sieves leaking methane into the atmosphere. Now, the EPA has done estimates of how much methane leaks from the source at the well to the eventual consumer, and they've said that it's something between 1 and 2% of the methane is leaked out into the environment. However, there's a lot of credible information from people who have done significant research that the number is several times higher than what the EPA reports. lots of methane is leaking out into the atmosphere. One of the meanings of this is that natural gas is often pointed to as a cleaner source of energy than coal. But the reality is, if we look at the impact of methane leaking into the environment and compare it with the use of coal, which doesn't leak into the environment, it's only a pollutant once it's burned, that the methane is really no cleaner than coal. Once again, in terms of doing your homework, I urge you to go on the internet and do some searches for methane leaks. There are cameras that can film leaking methane, and when you go to the fields where methane is brought up from under the ground, the leaking methane becomes obvious. It's all over the place. There's another thing going on right now, too, which is related to COVID and to the collapse in oil prices, and that is that a lot of wells are being abandoned by marginal companies. They're going bankrupt. They don't have the financial resources to clean up the mess that they've created, and they're just walking away from it. And that methane is leaking out into the atmosphere unabated with nobody to do anything about it. There are also very significant oil fields where the product that is being brought up to the surface is oil and not methane. However, methane is leaking to the surface with the oil. And since there's no infrastructure to do something with it, like send it to people's homes, it's just simply burned off. There are flares going in the major oil fields all over the world where the methane is being burned. And of course, once it's burned, it turns into carbon dioxide, and it's a pollutant in its own respect that way. Now, of course, the methane industry wants to make their product look as good as possible. One of the little tricks that they do in relation to that is to measure the impact of methane leakage into the atmosphere over 100 years, which seems pretty darn Machiavellian to me, in that the methane is only in the atmosphere for something like 10 to maybe 20 years at the most. So it's pretty clear if you take the impact of any bad or unfortunate thing and then expand the years that that impact is averaged over, the impact is going to look like less. It just doesn't work that way. It's really one of the key deceptions from the industry in claiming that methane is a cleaner fuel than oil or coal. Simple version, it's not. So is methane in the atmosphere increasing over time? Absolutely, yes it is. And this is even in spite of the fact that it does come out of the atmosphere fairly quickly, especially in relationship to CO2. The amount of methane in the air has increased by about 40% since the 1950s. Compare this to carbon dioxide increase in the atmosphere. It's taken something like 200 years for the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere to increase by 40%. Methane in the atmosphere is very significant. Well, aside from climate change, which is a worldwide issue, of course, is methane an issue around here in Tacoma? Well, actually, it is. And we can look no further than the liquefied natural gas plant that's under construction down in the Tide Flats. Now, this plant hasn't received its final certification, its final permits, but it's very much under construction. And the approach there, the idea seems to be that they'll have the thing pretty much done, and that'll put extra pressure on giving the final permits. So what does a liquefied natural gas plant do? It takes that fracked natural gas that comes through those leaky pipelines. It reduces it down to a liquid by cooling it, and then that's used for fueling ships. The argument that's used by the owner of the plant is that liquefied natural gas is cleaner than some forms of fuel that are presently used in shipping. But if, as we have pointed out here, we take into consideration the leakage of that methane on the way to the LNG plant, it really is not cleaner. I have to ask myself, what is the motivation of the firm that's building that plant? They are legally obligated to maximize shareholder value. That's what they're doing, despite whatever claims they make about a cleaner environment. Now, I'm not really all that knowledgeable about the LNG plant. There are folks around here who really are. One of the organizations I would point to would be Citizens for a Healthy Bay. You can find them on the internet. They've been looking at this LNG plant from the very beginning. They're extremely knowledgeable, and they're a reliable source of unbiased information. The information from the owner of the LNG plant is biased in the way that I've already pointed out. So where does that leave us? Well, I constantly ask everybody, including myself, to do their homework. So let's do our homework. Do some research on what the impact of methane is on the environment and our future. Another thing you can do is to get active with organizations that are concerned with the future of our planet, both locally and globally. So I mentioned Citizens for a Healthy Bay. There are other organizations like 350 Tacoma, national organizations like Audubon and Sierra Club that have local chapters. Political activism is really the only way we're going to turn things around in terms of how our environment and the future of our environment is going to do. Of course, me being an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby, I encourage you to figure out what it is that we're doing, and you can do that by also searching on the internet, or you could send me an email at john@ccltacoma.org. I'd love to hear from you, regardless of what your perspective is. In further terms of individual action, what can we do? Well, use less energy, become more electric, since the energy we have here in Tacoma is hydro, and as such, it's non-global warming polluting. And in terms of other individual actions, you could take a look at your diet and your meat consumption, knowing what the impact on the environment is regarding our meat consumption. By eating less meat, you're doing something good for the environment, and you're more than likely doing something good for yourself, because generally speaking, diets that are lower in meat are healthier diets. I personally have some meat in my diet, not much. I'd say I've reduced my meat consumption maybe 90% over the last 10 years. And I enjoy food a lot, and I feel good about having reduced the meat in my diet. There are folks call this reducitarian. You don't have to be radical or dogmatic about your diet. Just pay a little attention, and it'll probably help your bottom line, your pocketbook, at the same time. Enough today. I've enjoyed talking to you as always. Would love to hear from you by sending me an email to john@ccltacoma.org. And now, as always, I'm encouraging you to live like the mountain is out. Take care now.